Hello, welcome to La Radio du Cinéma. I am Jenna Suru, and today I'm very happy to discuss a short film titled Clout with the director Jordan Murphy Doge. Hi, Jordan, how are you?
Hello, Jenna. How are you? I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
You're joining us today from New York City, and I want to talk to you about the universe of your short. Can you tell us about how you developed the atmosphere in particular?
With the atmosphere of cloud.
The atmosphere, the characters are living in.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess like we could probably start the origins of clout, really. I think there's a real issue going on in the world right now, and there's a real damaging impact of social media on on young people. I saw this a lot in my younger siblings during lockdown, and so I guess we wanted to really explore a story that's very relatable, and so a fable is usually a great opportunity to do that, and we really saw that The Boy Who Cried Wolf is quite a powerful metaphor for the dark natures of social media. And so we started working on this story, and I love like the kind of genre of coming of age, and a story that can really explore morals. And so probably very inspired by Stand By Me. It's originally a Stephen King book called The Body. Whereby a bunch of young boys go into the woods to find a dead body. And the reason why they go in there is they wanted to get their picture in the school paper. And so our film's kind of like a modern adaptation of that, whereby it's all set in the world of social media. I guess modern media is now through social media rather than what it would have been back then in the newspapers. And essentially, it's the same thing, really. They were chasing like some, popularity amongst their friends. So similar to this, it's like chasing clout. This is like kind of the what the kids have coined it, really. But what we really wanted to do, like the setting of the story, is all in a private school environment. And I feel like there's often like a lot of cultural stigma attached to those that attend like elite schools. Perceptions of like privilege, protection, the inherited like advantages they get. And so we really wanted to challenge these assumptions by telling a story that really like subverts and interrogates those ideologies, particularly around like class and social hierarchy. I felt like that would have a real impact. And so yeah, we were very, very lucky from the offset. Well, I say we weren't very lucky from the offset, sorry. We did about three stop starts on this project. It's not very hard. It's very difficult trying to get a project like this off the ground, considering the narrative that we had. Trying to get schools or to like be happy with us trying to drown one of their students. It wasn't easy. So we actually ended up working with a school called Harrow. You may be familiar with Harrow School. I think Winston Churchill attended Harrow, Benedict Cumberbatch, amongst others. So it was like the perfect backdrop for this
I
story.
am not personally. Can you tell us about the school?
Yeah, Harrow School is a very kind of high profile all boys school in London. People travel from all over the world to attend this boarding school. So it's very prestigious. So it kind of created the perfect backdrop for this story that we wanted to tell. So we were very lucky to shoot there. But getting that far was quite a difficult task. We ended up having to like enroll alumni from the school. So Henry Empson, who came on board with us, ended up working with us a lot more than we originally had planned. He came on as like a production assistant, but originally he was just trying to help us get access to the school to be able to shoot there. And so a great thing about that school is they look after their previous students, and so because he was such a stellar student at the school at the college, he very kindly was able to get permissions for us to shoot there, which was perfect. Although funnily enough, when in the edit, the one scene we wanted more than any was in the school chapel there, and we ended up having to cut the scene from the film which was a very hard thing to cut because I had such like vision for this scene. It was the opening shot. It was all in this beautiful chapel. We even chose the time of the day so the sunlight's natural sunlight was pouring in through the windows. But when you're in the edit, if it's not servicing the story, you kind of have to just get rid of it, I guess. But yeah, I think like location was really important for capturing mood in this film. So we put meticulous efforts into the prep. And so yeah, locations is I think largely are just as much a part of the story as the characters.
Let's discuss comedy. Did you create it from the base of the script? Did you build it throughout production? How did it come together?
The comic elements of the story, I mean, myself, Tom Duthy and Tristan Thomas, we wrote this script together, and because we had such a long time with it, like we just started having some fun. Once we had the characters down and we knew the dynamics between them amongst themselves, when you're that age, you kind of just take the mick out of each other quite a lot. You know, it's that friendly banter, and so we wanted to really lean into that because that is that like innocence of youth where they're just having fun, they're making jokes at each other's expense all the time. And so, you know, as and when we saw opportunities to like inject a bit of comedy, we felt it was really important because this is quite a dark story. It's a cautionary tale, and those lighter moments throughout the script, I feel it gives it a much more richer experience. And also, when the film does conclude, you kind of learn to love the characters a bit more. I know it's a short film, so it's very difficult in such a short period of time, but I feel like we did enough work on the characters to make you really root for them. And so, yeah, injecting comedy was something that was really important to us from the start, so, because I feel like that's very reflective of children, boys and girls, you know. We all like to laugh and we all like to have a bit of fun. But getting the performances from the boys was something we put a lot of effort into that. I was very nervous working with children. I've shot with children a lot before, but never in a narrative format. And so giving them lines and dialogue and chemistry, I felt was like so important to capture that. And so what we did instead of a rehearsal day is we took them to an escape room. So they turned up with their mums, and naturally they weren't really talking to each other. So I quickly was just like, okay, mums go away now, boys get in there. And it was like an hour long, like haunted mansion escape room. And before they even had a chance to introduce themselves, we were like problem solving very quickly. And it was really fun and it was thrilling. And so at the end of it, I took them to Nando's, you may be familiar with this restaurant. It's like a chain of kind of piri piri chicken. But anyway, they loved it. And so the moment we were in that environment, they just wouldn't shut up. They were like, brr. And it's kind of like they were instantly best friends because they went through this like kind of like almost quite high stress problem solving situation. And so they were like, you know, they were forced to bond very quickly because they had to work as a team. And so then when we were at, when I took them bowling there afterwards, and then from that moment on, they were just like really friendly. We had a group chat and they'd send me all these weird memes all the time, and treated me like some, I don't know, fun uncle. It was quite funny. But that did a lot, that built so much chemistry amongst the boys that they were able to just have fun and be playful on set. And I feel that's something that's really important to make this kind of the culture of the set very playful. So they could kind of come with their own ideas and have some fun in the scene. I mean, it did make rehearsals thereafter was quite difficult because then they were just having too much fun. But I guess that's what the price you pay.
And now Wilson Jones is also starring in the film. How was it bringing up the female characters in a boys' school or a boys' club?
Anna plays Oscar's mum. And so we really wanted to capture like when writing the script, we wanted to put these kind of like very, a lot of children are going through the same kind of situation that Oscar is in. Like, so he's struggling. His parents, one, are going through a divorce, which is never easy for anyone. I mean, I myself grew up in a family where but my parents had separated, and a lot of people go through that in life. And so there's always like kind of the ripple effect of that happening to you when you're so young. But it's not just about that. There's much more going on in Oscar's life. And so, the experience that he's having at school. And so we kept it very ambiguous in the not knowing what had happened at school and why he's having to see the school therapist. But his mother clearly is worried sick about him. And so the two scenes in which we have with her, or three scenes, sorry, should I say that we had with her, we wanted to try and capture like their relationship. And you can see that she's loves him dearly, it's uncompromised mother's love. But he's at that kind of age where he's just like, he's going through his teens, he's kind of brushing her off, and she just probably finds his mum quite annoying. Plus she's a single parent, so she's having to like bring him up by herself, and also everything that he's going on with at school. And so I think naturally, like, mums sometimes can be a bit like eggshell around their children or child if something's kind of going on in their lives, because they don't want to push them away. And so I try to really capture that in their dynamic between the two characters. But you can see, but at the end of the film, she's just a worried mum, and doing her best. And it's I feel like that final moment where she calls him, where he's looking through the woods, is really powerful. And I think if you're a parent, I hope that that's going to really resonate with people. It's such a small little moment that, funnily enough, some people that had seen it before were saying, like, is that scene necessary? And I actually think that that scene is one of the most important moments in the film, because it really makes the kind of climax of the film hit those emotional beats even stronger.
What are you hoping professors, teachers, educators to take away from the short?
This is something that's been really important from the very origins of this story. I feel like, we live in a culture where children are always told what they should and shouldn't be doing. And the children themselves maybe don't have that voice as such. And so I wanted to make a film that would really empower, or spark dialogue amongst young people, so they're actually talking about this, but talking about this with, like, so creating a dialogue between both parents, teachers, and their students. Because a lot of the time it's always them telling them what to do. But I feel like, having shot this, and like we did a making of with this film, like a behind the scenes, where we interviewed all the boys on set, and they're so articulate and wise about their how it's social media impacts their lives, for the most part in a negative way. And most of them, they all agree that they don't really want to use it and they're happier without it, but the social pressures of everyone having it, they need it. And so I think, like the kind of something, a big takeaway from this, I feel like, would be like the reactions after watching this, and how I feel that parents and teachers should start listening more to what the young people are saying, because they're the ones going through this and experiencing it, and they've got something to say. But a lot of the time it falls on deaf ears. And so I'm hoping that it's going to spark more dialogue, more communication, because I feel that with stronger communication, it's going to just help alleviate some of the kind of, well, the lack of understanding, because, they are really the ones that have the answers. We just have to listen to them, and guide them through that.
Do you consider cinema to be an escape over literature, over paintings? Where do you place cinema in the world of education, and in particular, I'm assuming for the youth today?
I really feel like cinema is very powerful. Like there's like, when it comes to cinema, I feel like it captures all elements of art, and it's like an alchemy to bring it all together. So because you've got so much subtle storytelling, like the thematics of the storytelling throughout, both visually through sound, like music is so important, sound design is so important, the production design is so, like, added to that. And then, like, we even have like artwork that features in this film as well, that I feel has like that single piece of artwork that you see depicts almost the whole theme of the story in that frame that we slowly push into as we're hearing all of these dark thoughts that are going through Oscar's head. And so cinema is a really powerful tool. I firmly believe it's as vital to culture as politics. It gives voice to people. And so I feel like that's why I feel really compelled to tell stories that explore like social commentary, but through this lens of maybe like a more magical realism. And so I feel that cinema is extremely important.
Cinema and film festivals. The importance of festivals is incredible as much as dialogue is concerned, because it's actually a place where you can discuss, hopefully freely, the themes that you're watching. I was wondering, as I was watching the film, if you had any challenges that surged throughout the production phases, where you felt that you had to just make some adaptations or adapt in order to achieve the goal that you had as you were developing it.
I think independent cinema is always a challenge. It's just never, ever, 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 ever easy. It's like you're under such limitations of what's available to you. Budget is a huge constraint. Scheduling is a massive thing. Even just like bringing together, a group of talented creatives. Like that alone, I feel like is the kind of the single best thing any good director can do, because you might be able to set a vision, but like you're only as good as the team that you're working with. And so I find that like it's tr trying to find those collaborators that you can really develop a sense of language that you all are. Like that camaraderie of like creatives, I think is so compelling. And I feel like any great cinema that is produced, it's usually because there's an incredible team that's behind it. And that's not even heads of departments. I think that goes for everyone for a production to go well. And so I only mention this because like when you're making any story like this, especially when you've got like big ambitions for building such a big, rich world that we had planned for with Clout. From the offset, like this was like a film that wasn't really possible. The financials needed to make this film was overwhelming. I mean, when we first started, I think we had a crew of under 30, and I managed to convince my mum to do the catering. But by the time we were filming, we had over 100, and so my poor mum was having to like cook and freeze food for like weeks before the shoot, so all the cast and crew could be fed. And it's just like I feel like the biggest challenges are just in the production. It's like finding the locations. It's having to like continuously like hustle to get like every single ounce of what you put on the screen. It's like a real fight, and it's a fight through like passion and love. Like I feel like anyone that's probably made any independent cinema would I would think would agree that it's pure will and grit and persistence that kind of gets you to the finish line, because I think you've got to be a bit mad otherwise as why you would do it. I think another thing just to mention in the journey of this film as well is that working with the charity partners that we've had to support us along the way has been integral to this film being made. It wouldn't have happened without them, because it opened so many doors. Like our very first charity partner, Family Lives, after meetings with Jez and his team, just by having their approval in all of like to move forward with the production with them in partnership, every single conversation we then had with schools, with agents, with collaborators, with crew, with cast, it just gave the entire project this like this kind of social impact narrative that we're here trying to change, and we're trying to like really help young people and create a narrative around this serious issue. And so it just gave this whole project a new lease of life. And then so following that, we've brought on four incredible charity partners now into film. Into Film's really special. They are a charity that managed to get film directly into schools, so young people will be watching that. They have a film festival that we're attending with a Q&A screening in November. And we're also partnered with Arts Emergency. Arts Emergency is another incredible charity that they worked with like underrepresented youth to get them into the arts. And then The Mix is another incredible charity who have come on board with us, that already they've welcomed Archie onto a podcast. But we're going to be doing a lot of they're going to be joining us. They've got a young person's and young people ambassadors as part of their charity who are going to be joining us in the Q&A. And so I feel that's something very exciting about having young people interviewing our cast during the Q&A, because I feel like they're going to ask them more relatable questions. You know, it's peer to peer, right? And we're going to be in a screening room with parents, with adults, but with also young people to watch a film like Clout, to then speak about it in a very open forum where there'll be like questions with, you know, with people that have attended amongst the Q&A. So that's really, I think that's going to be a really exciting thing to just be a part of. I'm really excited for that. And it wouldn't be happening without our cinema partner, Everyman Cinemas, which is something that just still feels like a pinch me moment. I can't believe we've managed to get a partnership with Everyman nationwide. We're going to be traveling from the south to the north of England, screening this film with Q&A, taking some of the cast on the road with us. It's a bit of a dream come true, really. It's that Everyman Cinema has been my favorite cinema since for years. So it's such a special experience to be able to share our film with them.
What would you like to say to any younger actor who is attempting to break into this industry?
I think more than anything, don't take it too seriously. Just have fun. Do fun things. Go to drama clubs. Join local theatre groups. Reach out to agents. Try and shoot fun things with your friends. I feel like a lot of the time with younger people, it becomes too much of a job too quickly. And the moment you start making it a job, the play kind of gets taken out of it a little bit. Especially when you start doing some work. I mean, my younger sister, Daisy, she's an actress, and she was at the age of four or maybe six, I can't remember, but she was cast in the Da Vinci Code, you know, Hollywood studio movie. And but from such a young age, you then become like a working professional. And so everything is treated through the agents, and it becomes all about money and negotiating contracts and scheduling and this and that. And then all of a sudden you just like, it's just work, it's not play anymore. And I feel like kids need to just make sure it's playful, because and where they can be in a safe space to just enjoy it. So just, I think doing stuff, you learn so much by just doing. And getting out there and just finding your tribe, like finding people that are like you, is always a great thing, because when you find the right people that you really click with, you just start enjoying, like you just do weird things together, and like and it you never know what it can turn into.
Thank you, Jordan. It was beyond inspiring. Merci.
No worries. Great stuff.